For decades, physicists have searched for room temperature superconductors without success. It has been a tedious hit-or-miss process, testing one material after another. But in 1986, a new class of substances called high-temperature superconductors was found that became superconductors at about 90 degrees above absolute zero, or 90 Kelvin, creating a sensation in the world of physics. The floodgates seemed to open. Month after month, physicists raced one another to break the next world's record for a superconductor. For a brief moment, it seemed as if the possibility of room-temperature superconductors would leap off the pages of science fiction novels and into our living rooms. But after a few years of moving at breakneck speed, research in high-temperature superconductors began to slow down. At present, the world's record for a high-temperature superconductor is held by a substance called mercury, thallium, barium, calcium, copper oxide, which becomes superconducting at 138 Kelvin, or minus 135 degrees Celsius. This relatively high temperature is still a long way from room temperature, but this 138 Kelvin record is still important. Nitrogen liquefies at 77 Kelvin, and liquid nitrogen costs about as much as ordinary milk. Hence, ordinary liquid nitrogen could be used to cool down these high-temperature superconductors rather cheaply. Of course, room-temperature superconductors would need no cooling whatsoever. Embarrassingly enough, at present there is no theory explaining the properties of these high-temperature superconductors. In fact, a Nobel Prize is awaiting the enterprising physicist who can explain how high-temperature superconductors work. These high-temperature superconductors are made of atoms arranged in distinctive layers. Many physicists theorize that this layering of the ceramic material makes it possible for electrons to flow freely within each layer, creating a superconductor. But precisely how this is done is still a mystery. Because of this lack of knowledge, physicists unfortunately resort to a hit-or-miss procedure to search for new high-temperature superconductors. This means that the fabled room-temperature superconductor may be discovered tomorrow, next year, or not at all. No one knows when or if such a substance will ever be found. But if room-temperature superconductors are discovered, a tidal wave of commercial applications could be set off. Magnetic fields that are a million times more powerful than the Earth's magnetic field, which is 0.5 Gauss, might become commonplace. One common property of superconductivity is called the Meissner effect. If you place a magnet above a superconductor, the magnet will levitate, as if held upward by some invisible force. The reason for the Meissner effect is that the magnet has the effect of creating a mirror image magnet within the superconductor, so that the original magnet and the mirror image magnet repel each other. Another way to see this is that magnetic fields cannot penetrate into a superconductor. Instead, magnetic fields are expelled. So if a magnet is held above a superconductor, its lines of force are expelled by the superconductor, and the lines of force then push the magnet upward, causing it to levitate. Using the Meissner effect, one can imagine a future in which the highways are made of these special ceramics. Then magnets, placed in our belts or our tires, could enable us to magically float to our destination without any friction or energy loss. The Meissner effect works only on magnetic materials, such as metals, but it is also possible to use superconducting magnets to levitate non-magnetic materials, called paramagnets or diamagnets. These substances do not have magnetic properties of their own. They acquire their magnetic properties only in the presence of an external magnetic field. Paramagnets are attracted by an external magnet, while diamagnets are repelled by an external magnet. Water, for example, is a diamagnet. Since all living things are made of water, they can levitate in the presence of a powerful magnetic field. In a magnetic field of about 15 Teslas, 30,000 times the Earth's field, scientists have levitated small animals, such as frogs. But if room-temperature superconductors become a reality, it should be possible to levitate large non-magnetic objects as well, via their diamagnetic property. In conclusion, force fields as commonly described in science fiction do not fit the description of the four forces of the universe. Yet it may be possible to simulate many of the properties of force fields by using a multi-layered shield consisting of plasma windows, laser curtains, carbon nanotubes, and photochromatics. But developing such a shield could be many decades or even a century away. And if room temperature superconductors can be found, one might be able to use powerful magnetic fields to levitate cars and trains and soar in the air, as in science fiction movies. Given these considerations, I would classify force fields as a Class 1 impossibility. That is, something that is impossible by today's technology, but possible, in modified form, within a century or so.